Training.
I just have to show you my space corgi. He's so stupid. He's going to space.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we are talking about the new Netflix series, A Brief History of Swearing, starring Nick fucking Cage. There's swearing on this show, and we swear a lot, so fucking spoilers!
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Hi, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Molly Glover.
Oh, hello.
And Tim Wick.
Fuck, shit, cock, motherfucker, shithead.
And today we are going to talk about the Netflix series, The History of Swear Words.
Fuck yeah.
Yes.
I think we're obligated to give a spoiler warning, even though this isn't really a spoilery kind of show.
Not really.
A kind of docutainment style six episode show that's about six different swear words and the etymology, popular culture, history, and even just like opinions on those swear words.
It reminded me of like the VH1 shows. They're like, hey, remember the 90s?
Yeah, or like pop-up video.
It reminds me of the hey, remember the 90s
behind
shows
the music,
where they talked a little bit about, you know, all the different things that happened in the 90s.
Totally, but, 100%. Each episode is dedicated to a different swear word. They are in order: fuck, shit, bitch, dick, pussy, and damn.
Mm-hmm.
They start right off the bat with fuck.
Yeah, they blow their load right at the beginning.
Yeah.
Nick Cage is the host, and he's
surprisingly charming.
I usually
don't like him.
He overdoes it, but he's Nick Cage. It's what
I don't know how he can't. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, it worked out for me. I haven't really enjoyed much with Nick Cage since Matchstick Men. That was the last time I can remember.
What was that movie where he drives
Cage?
The ambulance? I like that one.
Leaving Las Vegas?
No.
No, it's a Scorsese ambulance film. God damn it. I don't
Doesn't
remember
matter. That one.
Now anyway, I gotta go look it up. Scorsese, Nick Cage.
They have a handful of entertainers, mostly comedians, a couple of actors.
Yep.
That are, and then they have a handful of experts. People who are etymologists, professors of English and dialect.
Linguistics.
A couple of authors who have written about the history of swearing as their kind of experts.
And the experts were
Bringing
cool.
Out the Dead, by the way.
Bringing out the Dead.
Bringing Out the Dead.
Yeah.
Which is an adaptation of A Christmas Carol, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
Sure. Yes. Okay, I see it now that I hear it. I feel like... my favorite parts of this show were the parts where they had the experts or when they were, I don't know. I feel like I love Nikki Glaser.
Nikki Glaser.
She's a hilarious comedian.
I was very glad she was there.
But I feel like most of her and a few other comedians' contribution were them just talking about how they do or don't like a swear word and not necessarily in a super entertaining way.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Sure. I liked the comedian parts a bit. I liked, especially when they would talk about, for some of the words, they would talk about like when it was said in a joke or when someone you had a really good, you know, joke about it or being on stage.
I liked that.
And some of that was good. But yeah, I agree. I could see how some of it was just like, and here's, you know, 20 seconds of Sarah Silverman saying the word pussy.
Right.
You know, kind of a thing. But
yeah, you know, I enjoyed the comedians, and they were sometimes funny and sometimes not, which I guess is pretty much standard for comedians. So that's fine. Mm-hmm. If I had a disappointment, it was that I wanted more on the history of these words, you know,
yeah.
And They didn't really go into, you know, even with like fuck. They're like, well, it might have come from here. We don't really know. But then it came into more common usage here. And I wanted them to just dig into that shit more. You know, yeah. Like,
I wanted some fucking detail.
Yeah, fucking detail. I wanted them to dig into the you know, apocryphal story about the fact that it came from the acronym for unlawful carnal knowledge, which isn't true, but they didn't even really say that.
They didn't talk about that, or they didn't really talk too much about the fornication under consent of the king. They
that's
were like,
the one they did talk.
They
about.
Talked about it a little bit, but they didn't really talk about like why, how can you not figure out who came up with that or where was it first mentioned? Sure. Or like, you know, yeah.
So that was what I was really hoping for when it was like the history of swear words, and that I was missing. It's like I wanted some deep dive fucking history. Literally. I wanted deep dive fucking history. On fuck.
I think my favorite episode was my least favorite of the swear words, and it was damn.
Yeah.
The last one, damn.
The damn episode was probably the best episode because and maybe the most relevant for the podcast because that was the only swear word that was like a swear word from the beginning and hasn't really changed in meaning since the very start.
Because it's profane.
But it stopped being
offensive.
Right.
Yeah.
It's still, I liked that a lot, them talking about how, and I did enjoy them talking about the goddamn and how that is worse. You know, like in at least in America and the Western culture, you know, in when it comes to censoring television and stuff, like saying damn is one thing, but saying goddamn all of a sudden is like that increases it. That makes it crazier.
It levels it up.
It's similar in France where it's not particularly bad to say, like the example I was given was, could you pass the fucking peas? Isn't necessarily like a big deal, but if you were to profane and say, God damn it, pass me the peas, that would be like a far more,
this is goddamn delicious
thing. Right. Is a far more offensive thing,
as opposed to in America where I mean all the comedians they were asking, they're like, but that's a swear word, that's I
say God damn it all the time.
Yeah, sure, heck, as a script writer, it's obnoxious, but I love having characters say, damn it.
Yeah.
D-A-M-M-I-T.
Yeah. Damn it.
You know, which is the whole, you know, you just realized you did something wrong and your response is damn it. I love that. I love that line. I use it a lot. It's not a swear word at all. And I had one actor that was like, I'm uncomfortable saying this. Can we have a different line here? And I was no.
Yeah.
Surprising to me that someone would have a moral objection to damn.
I say God damn it.
A lot.
All the time. Like, I probably say it as much as I say the word fuck. It is like, oh, God damn it. And that's how I say it too. Oh, God damn it. It's just all the time.
Oh, God damn it. I left my phone upstairs.
Oh, God damn it. I fell down. Oh, God damn it. Where is that? Like,
I also say Jesus is a swear word. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
I say
Jesus wept sometimes, which I find, I don't know where that came from, but I'll be just like, Jesus wept. And then I'm like, what is that? I'm not even like Catholic. That's so weird.
Yeah. Some of the swear words, they had a lot to talk about in terms of, like privilege or social, I guess you could say, like power dynamic when it comes to gender or race.
Mostly with bitch and pussy.
Yeah. Right.
They talked about the gender dynamic of those words.
Yeah.
Although what was really interesting was with those words especially, you had some black comedians talking about how they were used entirely differently within the community they were raised compared to white communities that they found themselves in later, or a gay comedian talking about the use of the word bitch in gay circles and how the usage there is entirely different from how straight people use it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Open Mike Eagle said that he's a comedian and a hip hop artist, said that he doesn't say bitch.
Yeah.
It's just not a word he's comfortable using. He doesn't say it in rap. He doesn't use it in his comedy. unless it's, you know, meta and about the word bitch, I suppose. But
and most of the women were like, I'm comfortable calling another woman a bitch, but I am not comfortable, and I'm comfortable being called a bitch by another woman, but I am not comfortable being called a bitch by a man.
Yeah, I it's funny because for me, listening to that, I was like, I really sat and thought about that for a while because it's all about context for me, for sure. Most of the time, if I'm called a bitch by a man, my response is going to be, you're goddamn right. Because like what he's saying is, I am making him mad. Like I am being powerful. I am being bossy. You know, like yeah. I am making him mad. I'm a bitch. And it's like, you're goddamn right, I'm a bitch, right? But like, if I were to overhear it, like a guy saying to me, you're a bitch, my reaction is like, yeah, fuck yeah, I am. But if I were to overhear, for like, let's say I were to overhear, like, you know, two guys saying, oh, Molly, she's such a bitch, that would hurt me more than being called a bitch to my face. Because being called a bitch to my face means I just did something and you were so mad about it that you couldn't do anything else. I took away your word power, right? Like, and that to me means I win. But like when it's just, that's how I'm being described in that, like, that yeah. like, you know, it's, I'm glad they showed that Key and Peele sketch.
They just
showed a bit of it. But there's a Key and Peele sketch about the word bitch that's amazing. And it's the two men, it's those two guys, and they're like, talking about their wives. And it's like, oh man, the other day, you know, Marissa, she, you know, told me to get her, you know, go and get her wine. And I was like, bitch, you get your own wine. And the guy's like, oh wow, you said bitch? And he's like, yeah, I did. It's like, you said it where she could hear it? And he's like, yeah, no, I definitely said it. And she heard me for sure. And then they're like, and they go to another room because the wives are too close. And they go to another room and it's like, yeah. So the other day, like I was talking, you know, to my girl, and, you know, and she was like, you know, you need to rake up the leaves. And I was like, bitch, I don't rake up the leaves. You know, it's like, bitch. Oh, you said bitch. It's like, yeah, I said it. I definitely
said it. Though,
but
right?
You said it, right? You definitely said it. It's like, oh, I said it. And then they're like, shit. And because they hear the women again. And then they're moving further and further away so they can keep talking about how they definitely called them.
By the end of the last episode in the season finale, they are like in space. Floating in space being like, I said, bitch.
it's great.
It's interesting that a couple of their experts, they did have a professor of African-American English and they had a professor of women's studies. They also had a lexicographer from, and former editor from, what is it?
Lexographer, I would say. How is it spelled? Lexicographer. Oh, you're right. Wow.
She was a former editor for Merriam-Webster.
She was, I thought that was pretty cool because she worked on swear words.
She like she got them in the dictionary, right?
Yeah. What was the word that wasn't in the?
It was bitch.
Yeah, and it didn't say anything about bitch being a slur. It said it was a female dog, and it didn't say anything about how it could be considered offensive. And she's like, I think we need to fix that.
That's the chief use.
So, Tim, when you were a kid, did kids ever say bitch and then be like, it's a word. It's a female dog. It's an actual word. Like, I can say it. Or did they ever, like, say damn or hell and be like, it's in the Bible. Like, it's or any of that?
Not to me. I'm sure they did. I was not a super social kid. So, you know, those kind of things, usually I would hear people say things and then would figure out what they meant.
Sure.
And typically I remember experimenting with swear words at home. Like a lot of us do, you know, like, bitch, that's a swear word. That's a new word. I'm going to try that out. And I think what mostly happened is my parents would say, practically the Merriam-Webster thing of, well, you know, it is a female dog, but it's also a slur.
I have a distinct memory of the first time I swore out loud, like on purpose as a swear I was out playing like recess, like tag at recess. It was freeze tag. So I was frozen all by myself and I was mad that I got tagged and I was standing all by myself and I can remember just going, shit, out loud and then being like, oh, and like the power coursed through me. Like I felt so like alive.
That's an interesting thing that I want to get to in a second. But just, I remember the first time I ever flipped anybody the bird. And it wasn't even flipping. I just saw people using this hand gesture with so much emotion. And so I was trying it out. I mean, it was literally like, what the fuck is this? I'm trying it out and I'm looking at it to figure out if I've got it right. And somebody I know walks by and they're like, yeah, fuck you too, Wick. And I'm like, is that what it means? I had no idea.
There's a Sarah Silverfilm in the episode about Pussy, which was another really good episode, I feel like, was talking about how she loves calling a guy a pussy when he's being weak or non-fortified in some way. And I realized a while ago that like I need to not use that word in that way because it's denigrating to women, because it's saying, you know, you're a pussy, you are womanly, therefore you are less or weak.
Or weak.
Like,
yeah.
I logically understand all of that completely, and I don't disagree. But calling someone a pussy when they need to, like, fortify themselves and like, if you will, man up, which, again, like, not the best, it's just so fitting and ingrained that I need a replacement word. I need something else to replace it because I want to be able to tell someone to quit being such a fucking pussy.
Yeah.
But I can't say that.
What did I say when we were watching it? I think I said, I agree with Sarah Silverman. It's like, I love calling a guy a pussy because generally he's going to prove you right. And he's about to be a total pussy about it.
Yeah,
right. And get really upset.
No, the thing I loved was the bits, getting back to this, the bits about how there's psychologically something that happens when you use swear words that you can actually keep your hand in a bucket of cold water 50%, and it helps you deal with pain. You can keep your hand in a bucket of cold water 50% longer if you swear versus just being like, oh, man. But if you're like, shit, fuck, 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 you can actually do it longer. It actually helps with pain.
They don't talk about it in the show, but a similar thing with using swearing as a tool like that in studies they've done are when you have to go to the bathroom and need to hold it longer, swearing can give you a little bit more endurance. If you are in any sort of state of distress, whatever that state of distress is, you can lower your overall stress level by venting through swearing. So if you're having a really bad day at work, it's like screaming in a pillow.
Fuck!
Or whatever. Being able to step away for a minute and go, oh my fucking God, this is so goddamn fucking aggravating.
Yeah.
That can lower your stress level a little bit and help you deal with that and then, you know, go back to work and not swear at customers or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very interesting.
Which I guess is bad. You're not supposed to do that. Even if you say you're just doing it to reduce stress.
I want to be in those studies. Can test me on swearing? I want to be your guinea pig.
My favorite story about the word fuck is my brother and sister were born when my other brother and I were 10 and 13 and then 11 and 14. Right. So like we were a lot older than them. We were already swearing when the babies were born. And so when they got my mom, I remember saying to us being like, you guys got to stop. We all got to stop fucking swearing so much because the kids are about to be old enough to understand and to hear us. We all got to tone it down. It was like, all right. And not very long after that, Madeline was about 3 years old and she was doing something on her own. And we heard like a crashy kind of thump. And then we heard, what the fuck? In this little tiny little 3-year-old voice. And my dad's like, well, I guess that ship has sailed. And the best part was she knew exactly how to use it. Yeah. Like she knew exactly what to do. It was great. What the fuck?
they talk a lot about in the show about swear words becoming like more tame and more acceptable or general use. And I don't know about you two. Molly, you and I are a little bit closer in age, but your family swears a lot more than mine.
We swear at work.
I swear at work, but it's just internal stuff.
I mean, like in company-wide meetings, like the head of studio, I've heard him just be like, I know we're all really fucking busy, you know, and we're all really fucking tired. So I really appreciate you guys. Like, so it's,
when I was a kid and like The Simpsons was like the bad show on TV, kind of, we weren't allowed to say sucks in my house because my mom thought that was offensive. And you know, denigrating to women specifically. And later, not too much later, my counter argument to that was, this is before my mom came out, but my aunt was well out at this point, was that, well, anyone can suck. So that's,
babies suck.
But by well, I mean, in a babies do suck though. But so, you know, it's exclusive by saying it's offensive to women because anyone can put a dick in their mouth. You know, but I mean that was a word that was like a somewhat taboo word in our house. And now my mom swears a lot too now.
I like to think it was me.
My
corrupting influence.
She was swearing before you, I think, even. But,
Tim,
but,
does your mom swear?
Oh no. No,
not at all. Does she
Catholic?
Does she do replacements? Does she swear, but she doesn't say the words?
What's the word?
She really doesn't. Mom does not.
It's she doesn't do the switching.
Maybe when I'm not around, maybe, but I mean, when she's around others, no, she does not use that kind of language, and I don't use that language around her either.
Really?
And it's just like it's. It's the way I grew up. Mom didn't swear.
Switching.
You didn't swear around mom. And I mean, the funny thing is the kids, we very early were like, you give swear words more power if you make them swear words. So we're like, whatever, we don't care. And just talked about there are places you don't use these words. You don't, hello, can you hear me? Can you not hear me? Sorry.
It's
you
just quiet.
You're making a look like you
I was making a face because you got really quiet all of a sudden.
Oh, well, it's probably the fucking cat. So let's see what we're doing. We're using a nope. She's going over to the soundboard now.
Okay. Sound technician Pluto.
All right. No. So, mom did not swear. So we didn't swear around mom. That was just a thing. And it still is. The kids will swear on mom. And I'm always like, guys, don't. Grandma doesn't like it.
It's interesting.
It's not that it's wrong to me, but she doesn't like it and respect.
I find it even more interesting that she doesn't do the swap. She doesn't say like, you know, cheese and crackers or Pete's sake or anything like that.
No, none of that. None of that.
That's really interesting.
So in my mom's childhood, they weren't allowed to use replacement swear words because her father, the Lutheran minister with a psychology degree, would say, if you're saying darn, you're saying damn. You're saying the same fucking thing. I mean, he didn't say that
part. If you say, oh, sugar, you're saying, oh, shit.
Right.
I mean, it's the same.
She wasn't allowed to use replacement swear words as a kid either.
Yeah.
And now look at us.
It's interesting. So one thing I will point out that I said it at the very beginning when they were like, oh, we're going to go through the history of swear words. And we didn't go look to see what all the words were first. We were just kind of, at first we were just watching a couple episodes and I'm like, they're not going to do cunt.
Right.
Nope.
I guarantee they won't. And I have a feeling that their argument is that it's more of a slur than a swear word. Because they did mention at the end of the damn episode that if you talk to millennials and especially Gen Z kids and you ask them like what words they consider offensive, they say slurs.
Right.
Racial slurs.
Sure.
Gay slurs, you know, all those, you know, I should say rainbow slurs, you know, all the different and ethnic slurs, they find those to be more offensive than swear words, which I agree with. I mean,
I would argue they're correct. Yeah.
I will lose my mind on somebody who, you know, uses a slur, but you know, but that's the interesting thing is I know a lot of people, I know some vilifiers who find the word cunt to be a slur. They consider it to be like a slur for women. Like it's such a bad word that it makes them, it's not even, and these are, you know, these are people, these are women who've told terrible jokes, you know, really like dirty, awful, like offensive, subversive jokes. And so for me, that word has, is no different to me than the word pussy, other than the fact that other people react to it differently. So sure. I have to not use it as often.
Right.
Yeah.
I love that word.
I do love that word. It's a great word. If they were
going to do another episode, I'd love them to explore some English things too, but yeah. Like bloody. I use bloody all the time. Wanker. Because in America, nobody gives a shit, right? But in England, that's super offensive.
Yep. And say, wanker's a big deal over there too.
Wanker's a big deal over there.
It's very casual.
But cunt is not. Like, you know, that just means a guy generally, like a rude version of saying dude, yeah. Right? Like it's, you know, like some idiot.
I would
just
never,
some cunt, you know.
I would never call a woman a cunt to anyone except for Molly.
Yeah, no, I hear that. And that's the thing is, like, I think a lot of it is knowing your audience and knowing your context for sure when it comes to swearing. Like, Tim doesn't swear around his mom, not because he thinks that the swear words are bad or because he finds them to be offensive, but because he knows his mom doesn't want to hear them. I don't use the word cunt in mixed company because I know it really makes a lot of women feel bad. And it makes them really uncomfortable.
I will use it in your company because the context is appropriate, and I like the way your eyes light up when you hear
cunt.
It.
Yeah.
For sure. It's interesting. I would see another episode
on English stuff. Yeah.
Or any. I mean, I don't want them to do an episode on slurs.
No.
Because
I don't
need to hear that over and over.
Well, they wouldn't be,
They probably wouldn't even use most of them. No. I mean, you couldn't do it. You couldn't do an episode on the N-word without just calling it the N-word.
Exactly. It's just, right. It's like that John Mulaney joke. When you've got two words and one of them you won't even say, that's the worst word. You know,
yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
And.
But they used to say the F-word.
I know.
People say the F word. People still say the F word.
My biological.
Not to compare the two directly or say they're equally bad. But
to me, the F word is a different word.
Oh, sure.
When I say the F word, that I'm not talking about fuck.
Right.
I'm talking about a different word altogether.
Yeah.
There's the N word, the F word, the R word, the T word. To me, those are the four big slurs, right? Like, and so.
Interesting.
And so, yeah, it's, I think what's really interesting too is that like,
So the F word is feminazi, right? That's what it
yes,
is?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, that's what I thought.
That's exactly
I'm sorry
it.
I said it out loud. I apologize.
Yeah. And there's a word where I know that there are a bunch of gay guys who love to use that word with each other. And,
right.
And just like there's a bunch of black people that love to use the N word with each other, and they are welcome to it. And that's how I feel about cunt.
Well, a lot of the show talked about reclamation, how some of these words have been reclamated, how bitch and pussy are being reclaimed by women so that it's not a slur anymore towards women, which I think is it's another interesting. You know, if I have one critique about the show, and I know you kind of like Nick Cage, Molly, it's like in this show, every time Nick Cage came on, I was like, oh, fuck, get him off. I don't care.
I think he did. I guess I should say when I heard Nick Cage was hosting it, I didn't want to watch it.
Hmm.
So I was, I guess, maybe because I had a negative expectation.
He did not ruin it for you.
I was pleasantly surprised, should say. I wouldn't say I liked him so much as I was surprised he did as good a job as he did. How's that?
Before we get to five questions, if you were to give this show a score, invent your own rating system.
Okay.
Whatever percentage, mm-hmm. tomato meter, whatever you want to do. Tim, how would you rank the history of swear words?
I'm going to go with 1, 2, 3.5 birds out of 5. And a half birds out of 5.
Molly?
Yeah, 3 cunts out of 5 cunts.
3 cunts out of
5
cunts.
3 cunts out of 5 cunts, for sure.
I would give it 3 asterisks obscuring the swear word out of 5.
Okay, sure. So we're all at about a solid 3.
I mean,
I like it.
And it's only 30 minutes an episode. It's fast. It's a fast watch. And there was something that interested me in every episode, but
agreed.
There was still a lot of stuff in there that I wasn't nuts about, and I still really wanted more of the etymology and history of the words. It's like it's right in the name and they didn't give it to me, and I was a little disappointed in that.
Dick. I gave 66% of a fuck.
Yeah.
Nice.
The dick episode, I felt like there were times where they were like, yeah, there's so many words for dick. And then they would say like 8 of them. And it's like, see, now, if you
had, even good ones,
if you had like really come up with an exhaustive list and given it to them to read or something, that could have been a lot funnier.
They did not even include Tallywhacker.
I think they did include Tallywhacker, but they that was one of the ones they said, because I remember thinking like, there's so many other like words that they
did that. I don't think they said dong.
They didn't say dong
or wang.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know. It's, I think sometimes they were trying to be so irreverent that it, like, as we have all experienced, both with our own jokes and with the jokes of our castmates sometimes, if you try too hard to be offensive or to be irreverent, sometimes you lose the humor that would have come from just being funny about it or even just talking about it.
I think, to me, with Vil, and I think here it's kind of the same thing. I'm always like, if you write a joke and you're like, that's funny, then you know you wrote it right, even if it doesn't even if it doesn't land. But if you write a joke and you're like, oh, that's so edgy, or that's over the edge, then it's like, that's probably the response you're gonna get is a whoa. You're not going to get the which is what you want. You want the laughter, I think.
Yeah. The ha-ha, Bobby. The ha-ha.
All right. Molly, who do we have 5 questions from?
We have 5 questions from a patron. Sinjin has written in again.
Awesome.
Do we have any more questions in the queue after this, Molly?
After this, we just have one set from Jeremy, who is a non-patron.
Fucking Jeremy.
So, that's it. We just have one set after this. But what Sinjin has written to us and says, I have got another set of 5 random questions for you.
All right. Yay. We'll take them.
Question 1. What's one thing you wish people would ask you while they're getting to know you? It's a really interesting question.
Can I hug you?
That's a good one.
Because I hate people who are like, I'm a hugger. And then they give you a hug.
And it just happens.
Yeah.
Can you imagine,
motherfucker,
if that was like,
decide whether or not they find out whether they're a hugger first.
Can you imagine if that was just like I'm a pickpocket, and they just like that's just what I do. I take people's wallets for.
I'm a kisser.
I'm a kisser. I kiss people on the mouth. I just do it. You know.
Just in the last episode, I mentioned Ted Lasso, and the episode in Ted Lasso where he's playing darts, and what he says to the asshole former owner of the team is like, you know, asking questions is really helpful. Like if you'd asked me if I know how to play darts. That idea just asking somebody something before you assume you know the answer.
I'm so glad we can do an episode on that show now.
Yeah.
Because I have so much to say about Ted Lasso. All right. I would say I wish people would ask me, I don't know. Anything I can think of sounds rude. Like one of the reasons, I guess, I get asked a lot of things that I don't want to be asked. So I'm trying to think of like people ask me like if my hair is naturally curly or like if I'm wearing blue contacts. I get asked a lot of weird things.
For me, I think it would be really great way to start get a conversation going and also get to know someone really well in a lot of ways is what kind of books do you read?
That's a good question.
Because it allows a person to not only talk about their taste, but also whether or not they're a reader, how much they read. If they read audio books, it'd be easy for me to bring up that I'm dyslexic and that I tend to do most of my pleasure reading by audio and that sort of thing. I feel like that's a good way to small talk, but you can get into more personal stuff.
I think I figured it out. I would like to be asked, what do you like about your job? Because I get asked a lot what my job is. Because they'll be like, what do you do? I'm like, oh, I'm a game producer for board and card games. Like, oh, what is that? And that's a hard question.
Define your entire professional role.
And then usually we segue into, I have a kid and they like this and what game should I get for them? So, you know, just like, what do you like about your job would be something I think I would like to hear.
Yeah.
All right. Question 2, if one were to move to the Twin Cities area, what things should one know about it? I'm going to answer right now and say, it can get very cold here. Like it's, you might think if you haven't lived somewhere where it gets below 0 Fahrenheit regularly,
for days
you don't know what it really feels like to live at below zero Fahrenheit, and it's a lot. And so that also it affects your car, it affects your pipes, it affects, you know, like your ability to go out, it affects the roads. So yeah, like
it affects your fucking mood.
Yeah, yeah, your
coat isn't warm enough.
Yeah, you need to know that it can get. You need to understand what the cold is here, and also that it will be over 100 degrees as well. Like the temperature variation here is about 130 degrees on any given year,
and it can swing 50 degrees from one day to the next.
Yep. I really think that's something people don't know about here. That they think about the snow, and they're prepared for snow and 30-degree weather. You know, and that's not it. That ain't it.
I think this is my standby when talking about the Twin Cities or Minnesota especially, is Minnesota nice is real. It's not passive aggressive, but a more accurate term for it would be Minnesota polite.
Yeah.
Minnesotans are polite. Don't confuse that for niceness. Just because someone is not rude to you and holding a door open for you doesn't mean they want to be friends necessarily. So when they act friendly towards you and then you are turned away and coldly by them later, that's not because they're two-faced or passive-aggressive. It's because we all need to be nice to each other when we're trapped indoors for 6 months of the year so we don't fucking murder each other. Minnesota kind.
Yeah.
Or Minnesota polite.
Polite. Yeah.
And I love where I live. I really do. So this is all the like negatives that we're coming up with.
Yeah.
But one thing that I'd want people to know is everything is far away from everything else.
Yeah.
This is fucking driving city.
Twin Cities is big.
We have a bus system. We have light rail. But seriously, you are not going to survive. I mean, people do. But realistically, public transit is not a great option out here.
I would
here.
Say it's more that if you don't have a car, a lot of things will not be available to you that consider themselves part of the Twin Cities.
Sure.
Yeah. And St. Paul and Minneapolis, yes, they are right next to each other. And
you can get everywhere.
Somebody can live in St. Paul and somebody can live in Minneapolis, and it's a 40-minute drive to get to their house. This place spreads like you would not believe.
If you drive, pretty much everything is about a half hour away, no matter where you're going. And your answer combines well with Molly's answer because, like, you know, if you are relying on public transportation, then you're relying on public transportation to get to work when the buses are running an hour late because the snow hasn't been plowed well yet.
I have five grocery stores and two Targets within 3 miles of my house, but none of them is closer than a mile. Fucking insane.
And you live in what is considered a very urban area.
Yeah.
So transit friendly.
Yeah.
That's just the way this place is. It's something that you really got to be ready for.
Yep. Okay. So question three, if you could be the god of something, what would you be the god of?
I remember us going over this question earlier and thinking I'd have a lot of trouble with it.
I have an answer. So I will go. I would be the god of smelling nice. Mm. I love when things smell nice. I have very specific tastes, but you know, I always smell good. People will hug me and be like, "You smell good." I'm like, "Yep, that's kind of my thing." Like it's important to me. I bathe daily. I always have clean clothes. Like it's super important to me how I smell. Cause my sense of smell is very elevated. And if I can smell myself and I don't like it, then I'm not happy. So, it can, you know, it's a blessing and a curse because like all gods, because you know, then bad smells very much upset me. And I am a wrathful god when there are bad smells and will impose my will upon the land. But yeah, I am the god of nice smells.
I got mine.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Do you have yours, Nick? I'm
almost.
This is, I think, very timely, but I think I could make good use of it. I would be the god of pandemics.
Ooh.
And that would allow me to do things like, you know, when there are people holding parties with no masks, like the college students living next door to us did this last weekend. They would just all get sick.
Oh, they would smite them.
Yeah.
Smite I just, them good.
Yeah. Smite them every fucking time. I would smite them every fucking time. Somebody walking through a grocery store with a mask under their chin to be like, well, I'm wearing a mask. Pow.
You know, and what offerings would people have to make to appease you? Just following safety protocols.
You just have to follow safety protocols. Hand sanitizer. Christ, it's bottles not that fucking sanitizer. Hard.
Yeah. Nick, what's your
the god of social media arguments?
This is true.
The god of the Facebook comments.
Yeah.
And while
also known as a meme lord.
And while my art has refined with time and settled down, and I've learned to appreciate blocking rather than engaging quite a bit. I still, man, sometimes some people just need a fucking talking to in social media. And I think this also incorporates reporting accounts. For posting racist ass shit or disinformation.
You have many Twitter Nazi scalps.
Yes. Yeah. I used to collect screen caps of Twitter telling me that accounts were shut down after
and he wants his scalps.
And I want my scalps. And offerings would be scalps. Offerings would be
Nazis.
Proof of screen caps of people that you've got blocked from social media because of their bad behavior, just reporting them to the moderations.
Yeah.
And your smites are getting your accounts locked.
All right. Question 4. What would the title of the comic book about your life be? Mine is just going to be awkward. just awkward, probably with a period, because like legit, that is just in all ways, physical, emotional, verbal. I am awkward in all situations. I'm fine with it. It doesn't bother me. I used to get embarrassed about it because I was told I should be embarrassed about it. And vilification tennis, honestly, is one of the things that helped me embrace myself for who I am and all my weirdness. And it was such a wonderful way to be like appreciated for my weirdness. Like I have worn some bizarre but fucking costumes on Vil 10 stage for I mean like and it's like people are always like, oh, Molly's always extra, and it's like, yeah, but it's also awkward. It's always a little awkward too when you see it. It's like, but does she know why the fish half on top? Like it's just, you know, like, and so I feel like it's just, you know, yeah, awkward. That's me.
Mine would just be, again, just like one word.
Yeah.
Just large.
Yeah.
It's large.
You are large all over.
It works. In all it works ways. On a bunch of levels. Gotta live large. Gotta take up the space that you deserve because you're entitled to it.
Large in all directions. Up, down, yeah. Out.
I guess mine would be learning.
Ooh, I like that.
That sounds just so smug, but I mean, seriously.
No, but you're the son of teacher. Like it just, you know, like there's a lot there.
Every fucking day I learn something that I'm like, shit, I didn't know that. You know, even if it's how to deal with people or what have you, it's like every day I feel like I'm learning something and noticing that I'm learning something, which I guess is why it makes sense. Cause it's something that I notice that I go, oh. Really? Okay, cool. And then the next day I learned the same thing because I forgot it. So that's great.
Learning is actually a sad story. Yeah. You get to the end and you're like, oh my God, this guy, it's just learning. It's never retaining.
He's had Alzheimer's since he was five. Oh my God.
Maybe if you smoked less weed, Tim.
That must be it.
All right. And question 5, if you could choose to have a synesthesia link between two different senses, what would you choose to make your life easier? And I will go first again because I have thought about this since we read it. So something that would be really helpful in my job is if I could feel color.
Oh.
Because part of my job is inspecting physical proofs and looking to make sure colors match. And, you know, we do a lot of, especially if you're making an expansion to a board game, right? And those cards got to shuffle in. with the other cards, you have to do color matching, and because otherwise you'll be able to tell, especially if it's a competitive card game or things like that. So if I could touch two cards and be like, oh, these are two different shades of blue, that would be amazing. Instead of having to rely on my eyes, which are, you know, not always perfect. So if I could feel it.
Is this, can we assume that this is something that you can control to some degree and it's not just like full blast on?
Well, I'll allow it.
I'd like to be able to taste what I see, but like also sometimes I have to pick up dog shit. So like,
you just wouldn't look at it. You would just be like glancing at it and be like, oh.
But like, how great would it be to like walk through a restaurant and just like look at like food they have on display and just be like, oh, that all tastes so delicious.
Oh, when you're trying to decide ice cream flavors, you can just look at them.
You just look at them in the restaurant, in the freezer section, and be like, well, that one's delicious. I can tell already.
Okay. I like that.
I would like to be able to see what I smell. Because that way, when I open up the refrigerator and I go, oh, shit, something's gone bad in there, I would know what it is.
Oh, that's exactly, a good one.
Instantly.
Or when I go to a restaurant, I'm like, something in here smells really good. I wonder what that is.
I would know which to order.
And I could order it. Or I do not like that odor at all. What did that person order? I don't want it.
Well, think of it when you had, if you had two kids who were both maybe in diapers, right? You wouldn't have to pick them up and put their butts to your nose. You would just know.
Like, oh, that's Alex. Or like,
you would just know which one was the problem. Yeah. And then this is good. We all have good lit links. Yeah. Those are from St. John.
Fantastic. Thanks, thank you for your questions. If you want to send us five questions, and why wouldn't you?
It's my
question
to
you. You should send them in to 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com. We will answer them. They can be personal, ridiculous, philosophical, trivia.
Random?
Why not?
They can be associated or not.
They can be a theme or not at all.
You could just ask us what the tallest building in Myanmar is.
Yeah, just ask us trivia. We'll give you answers from the 90s because all we have are Tim's old board games.
That was my 90s board game. Well, in the 90s, the tallest building in Myanmar.
Send them to 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com. What's your favorite swear word that is appropriate to say or post it in a Facebook comment or on Twitter?
I thought you were asking us because I was going to say is definitely fuck.
It's good mileage. It's versatile. What's yours, listener? Let us know how you feel about swearing, what your favorite swear word is, and your favorite swear word factoid. Otherwise, we've been Geeks Without God. You can support us on Patreon. You get to listen to these episodes early if you support us at any amount. If you throw us a couple bucks a month, you get to watch the awkward YouTube videos of us recording these remote episodes while we are in the middle of the pandemic. So something to look forward to, he asked. Otherwise, we will have another episode up next week, as we do every Tuesday since we started. Haven't missed one yet. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
And remember, if you want our podcast to hurt less, just swear while you're listening.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Well, we'll see what it sounds like when I listen to it, and hopefully it isn't just complete shit.